kick centre bounce and a ruckman crash on in.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Handball to Viney.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure. So beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Half Time, Pure Footy.
Not sure what he says there, but it sounds cool. It's great to have you on board. Pure Footy, Glenn Luff from championdata.com.au for the all-important 2015 edition of the AFL Prospectus, the Gold Embossed Edition. Hello, Glenn.
Daniel, how are you?
Great, thank you. Great.
That's good. Nice purple.
Purple's my daughter's favourite colour. The Abenator's favourite colour is purple, so I chuck on the purple polo every now and then.
Very good.
Any favourite colours for you, Glenn, while we're at it?
Like green.
Grass. The grass is green in Glen Luff Land. David King, the world's greatest footy analyst for 1300 for Tradie, is with us again on Pure Footy. Hello, Kingy.
Oh, g'day, boys.
Oh. Here we go.
Problems?
That's us.
We've got problems. How are we, lads? We're good?
We're going well.
Great start to the show. Glenn's favourite colour is green. And
what's your favourite colour?
Oh, yeah, look, one of the big issues.
What's your favourite colour, David?
What's your favourite? Like most of my finances, red. In the red.
In the red. That's good. Like that.
Pretty lot happening, isn't there?
Well, there is. And one of the big issues that you alluded to before is not about colours, but about the Gold Embossed 2015 AFL Prospectus.
Look, it's, what are we, round 16
round
this week?
Round 16. So we're two-thirds through, aren't we?
It's a tough year. It's a long year for all of us.
Yeah.
I just want to say the embossing hasn't held up real well after 15 weeks in the old kit bag over here.
The satchel has taken hold of the embossing, has it?
It's done minimal travel this year, I'll be honest with you. Been to Perth a couple of times, Glenn, and the embossing is literally falling apart here.
Is there some research going into that for next year, for the 2016 edition of the embossing?
Did you spend as much as you should have on the embossing?
You've got to take care of it, David, and you're clearly not taking care of it, because mine's fine. Yeah. Or you got a bad one.
Oh, there wouldn't be a bad one from Champion David. I
did get a bad one,
boys, this hour, as well as our good friends at Champion Data and 1300 Tradies, bugger berries online, there's no fruit. Grab the all-new chicken golden herb schnitzel and slaw sub from Subway for a limited time.
Took him 16 weeks.
You're angry today.
I was giving Pops Pick Nataro some love, and he's given me none back, so he can get stuffed.
He's had the Mooney Ponds store has had a bad couple of weeks. You've been given the ultimate feedback.
Yes.
There's
been some very warm feedback coming their way, though. They do like to light fires in the fireplace and all the other rooms in the house there at Mooney Ponds. Hey, let's talk footy. Let's talk pure footy, because there's a bit going on in the world of footy, and I think one of the biggest talking points in footy at the moment is, what the hell's happened to Fremantle? What's happened, boys?
What is going on at Fremantle, Glenn? Because, everyone wants to tell us the sheer numbers that they can't score, or they don't score large offensive numbers over the last 4 or 5 years. We know that. We understand that.
We've got a good sample size of that, haven't
we? It's not generally how they win, is it?
No.
It's more their ability to restrict and deny the opposition their game, basically take their whole game off them and dominate with time and possession. And we've seen them tinker with the way they use the ball at the back line. I just wonder whether there's a deeper problem than just saying they can't score and blaming the forward six.
Yeah, so as you said, so the points against has risen by 10. So I've looked at the first 2 months, rounds 1-8, and then since then. So 9-6, 15, that's when they've started to struggle from that Adelaide game where they probably should have lost that, but they got over the line. In that time, Kingy, four of their six games have been wet. So there's, and that affects Fremantle. I think the Dockers are a bit misunderstood. I think we keep referring back to the pressure of Freo of a few years ago.
Yep.
In the first couple of months, it's more about what they do with the footy. So that they were a dominant contested footy team, and that hasn't dropped away too much in the last six games. But their ability to hold on to the footy, as you said, the time in possession was at plus 8% in the first 2 months. That's dropped. They're actually in the negative now. So the teams have made it a real scrap against them. So their stoppages.
Do you think Richmond started that?
Yeah, I think the Adelaide game was just a wet game that made it a scrap. Richmond jumped him, but played that sort of time in possession game and denied him the footy.
Yeah,
which would have frustrated them. But their stoppages have gone from 62, and these are just throw-ins and ball-ups, 62 in the first 2 months. Since then, it's 98, so it's up by 36. So that suggests there's been wet games. and the opposition are really pressuring them. So they've out-tackled their opposition only twice this year. So this gets back to they're a bit misunderstood. It's more about what they do with the footy rather than what they do without the footy. Structurally outstanding, Kingy. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But low tackle numbers, and West Coast are a bit the same. So Hawthorn had 35 more tackles than the Dockers last week.
So 35 more?
Yeah, so they've really been hunted.
And they got beaten by 12.
What's that?
They got beaten by 12 goals, and they had 35 less tackles.
Yeah. Yeah. Gee. So that's a problem.
I don't think they're necessarily a tackling team, though. I think they try to force you to kick the ball into turnover.
Yeah.
Yes. They try and pick you off. And so they corral more, they hunt up with that frontal pressure, and they force you to kick the ball high. Johnson's not there, so that's an issue for them. Ibbotson's had to mind a man at times the last few weeks. McFarlane, I want to talk about in a moment, it hasn't been the intercept player that he once was. So they're relying on a lot of that lesser talent to get involved. And you're talking about guys like Sutcliffe and Sheridan and Spur and Subin, these sorts of guys who've had time at halfback. Even Hill's gone back, but he's not an intercept player. He's more of a first receive, get us out of trouble type offensive halfbacker. So for me, their backline mechanics has changed enormously. So it's too simplistic to say that Johnson's not there, that's failing. I think they're having to defend more pure footy coming at them.
Who's playing the Johnson role, though, King? I mean, he plays a really good role. He's a really clever player, Michael Johnson. I think we've all started to appreciate his ability in the game in the last 3 or 4 years. And he's such a linchpin. He seems to be such a linchpin to the way they move the ball.
Mm.
Clearly, it starts in the back half of the ground when he's there, but to the way they move the ball from that point in time on, and just since he's been gone, there doesn't seem to be that fluidity with their movement.
No, there doesn't. That's a very good word. And I think that's why I keep, every time I talk to Ross, I keep saying, any chance of getting Hill to the halfback flank and just leaving him there for a while? Because he's a potential All-Australian down there, but he needs him as a wingman. He thinks that he needs his speed at first receive from Fife and Mundy and these guys.
Yep.
I think they need to take a risk. I actually want to propose that they need to get an area right. Now, they're going to get Dawson back in the next couple of weeks. He's a chance to play this week. He's a test to play this week. They'll get Silvani, the opportunity to play Silvani in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's getting late in the year. I know it's getting late, and there's no need to rush these guys in.
Mm.
If they could bring Dawson back in, I think they defend really well structurally as a team. So it's more of a team defence, not reliant on the Alex Rance type at Richmond where it's a one-man wall. I think they can afford to throw McFarlane forward and try and solve that second tall forward option. Give Pavlich someone else that's a leading type player that can come with the ball. If you've got Sandilands down there, play him in the goal square, or Clark as that stationary drop the ball in their head type target. But I think it's time to roll McFarlane forward. We know he can play full forward.
That's where he started.
Five times throughout his career, he's kicked 5 goals. Now, that's a big start. I mean, he's kicked 34 goals in a season in 19 games way back, 10 years ago. But it's not necessarily about what he can do across the course of the year. It's what he can do in a short space of about 6 or 7 weeks. And I think they need to take the punt and roll him forward, trust Dawson, trust Silvani, trust whoever goes down back that they'll be able to hold up. You can always swing him back in game. But get that second tall forward right, because Tabana for me is not the answer. And these little guys are not target type. They don't offer themselves as targets.
Well, Walters was doing that. He was being a target player for a while, and it sort of seemed to be taken out of his game. He's a lead player. He's been able to play on the lead, not a pack mark or a high jumping plot sort of player, but he's been a lead player for a couple of years.
Would you look at McFarlane
forward? I'd be happy to do that. Because you go through the numbers.
Yeah.
And just since the Adelaide game, right, that round 9, which you referred to before, Luff, and this is purely looking at their offense, 68, 70, 53, 80 against Collingwood, 84 against Brisbane, and then 43 on the
Line. So they've gone from 97 points to 66. So that's over five goals.
It's a huge deficit.
They've lost it on turnover, but stoppage is very interesting. They were red hot in the first 2 months. They were so clean. It was Sandilands down to Fife, and they'd take it and they'd score. Since that round 9...
Did you just ding your own idea?
No, I didn't.
That wasn't a little one of those little light bulbs.
I'm going right here. Ding!
Don't blame me. Just with their stoppage stuff.
A bit of feedback from 1300 for tradie there.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
guys.
Phone words.
Converting first possession to clearance. In the first 2 months, they ranked number one in the competition.
Yeah, first 2 months.
Since then, they've gone to 18th.
Gee.
So that's a big drop.
So say that again. What was
so
it?
Converting first possession at a stoppage,
yep.
converting it to a clearance.
To an effective clearance, yep.
They've gone from 1 to 18.
Best so to last.
Best to last.
Wow. Yeah.
So the opposition had identifying that, and we saw that vision on the couch the other night.
Yeah, that was really good vision there.
Excellent vision.
If you didn't see that, it was stoppage vision where it was the against West Coast
yep.
on the weekend. Who'd they play again?
They played Adelaide.
And Natnell was able to get the ball out wide of the contest to Pritis. They worked it back with space and freedom. Sure, we got the goal. I think it might have been the vision they showed. And then they showed Hawthorn and Fremantle down in Tassie where even though Sandilands is a dominant ruckman, they gave the guys around the perimeter no space. Hawthorn just stayed with them.
So yeah. Freo dominated
hit-outs. Gave them no opportunity to get out.
And first possession, but Hawthorn dominated the clearances.
Really good footage there.
So it was good footage. So I think that's what teams are doing. They're not getting those easy exits out of stoppage. Just in the defensive 50, in the last 6 weeks, they've won 32 clearances, Freo, and they've got it inside 50 once.
Wow.
From there. And then in the defensive mid, they're ranked 18th as well. So
problems.
They've got a lot of problems.
Problems. I think, you know, that centre bounce vision you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think they'll look at that during the week and Ross, the boss, will say, righto, what we're going to do, don't stand on that circle. Stand 3 metres back from the circle.
Yep.
Let's make this space massive. We're going to win the hit out and we want to make it a larger space to defend.
Get
the knife on the move. See if he can burst through a couple of packs.
It's amazing that we're talking about a team and how they've battled for 6 matches and they're 12-2. He's banked 12 wins.
He's banked them. He's banked four points 12 times. He's had a good time. It's not ideal last couple of weeks. We'll work on it. We'll see what we can do after the break. 22 past 12. It's a hot start to Pure Footy today. 25 past 12 on a Thursday afternoon. The all-new chicken, golden chicken herb schnitzel and slaw Subway from Sub. Good time for that for a limited time only. Thanks to the AFL Prospectus 2015 edition. It's gold embossed. It doesn't last well after 16 weeks, but it's gold embossed. Problems. And 1-300-4 tradies. We bring in Pure Footy every week with Glenn Luff and David King. Some problems. Now, boys. I want to throw this to you. Throw this to you straight away. I want to discuss a couple of lists and where they sit currently. Is it this time of year we start to, I reckon we really get our teeth into lists because we're either assessing why they're so good, we're assessing why they're not performing, or we're assessing middle of the road teams and how they get better. West Coast come to mind straight away. What the hell's, how have they got to where they are?
Well, this is the art of setting yourself for a premiership tilt, for actually giving yourself a sustained opportunity 3 to 4 years to rise into the top four and win one. Adam Simpson's been able to do this really quick with West Coast. But let's just say for whatever reason they remain a top four team this year and don't win it.
Yep.
Okay, so whether they get the grand final or not is irrelevant. Whether they go out in straight sets is irrelevant. They're going to be around the mark, aren't they?
They are.
What do they need to do? What do they need that's going to help them next year? Now, most people will say, well, they'll get McKenzie back from injury. They'll get the other defender, Brown, back from injury. And they'll give them the ability to throw McGovern forward and they'll get a lot more assets. Is it as simple as them going back to the draft, which really doesn't give them a bona fide player for 2 to 3, maybe 4 years?
Yep.
I still think they need to be aggressive. I still think when you look at the Hawthorn model of them going after a gun-free agent every year to keep topping up, keep quality coming in a draft year that everyone tells me is pretty average outside of the first 4 or 5 picks, which they won't get near anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe they need to look at moving some players on. Now, you hear a lot about Scott Selwood, about the fact that he's looking to come back home, come back to Geelong or play with his brother or whatever the issue is. He's
certainly rumblings about that, isn't
there? There's rumblings.
Yep.
Now would be the time to move on that, wouldn't it? Now would be the time to try and lure someone from Geelong. I'm wondering whether if they were able to get a Stephen Motlop type, whether that would serve them better than even having Scott Selwood. I think they've got to be aggressive. I think the West Coast's time is going to be upon them. I mean, they're going to have 3 or 4 years as an opportunity. They need to start getting some of these players that just damage on the periphery, on the wings. I mean, I know Gaff's having a great year, third in the coaches' votes and all that sort of thing. But they probably need another couple of wingmen that can damage.
You can't have too many.
No, you can't have too many.
Motlop would be pretty good at Subiaco, I would have thought.
It's also an enticing. It's a really destination club now, isn't it? The way they're going.
Well, it is now.
Yeah. They're back on track. You want to go to West Coast.
I mean, they got criticised last year for not topping up and getting some players in. But we forget the previous years. They got in Jamie Cripps, who's been significant this year. Josh Hill's had a good year. Wellingham. So they've got a lot of players from other clubs. I think Motlop would be perfect for them at Subiaco. If they have conceded that Selwood is going to Geelong. I wonder if that's a fair swap, though.
Would you get involved in Harley Bennell? Get involved?
Purely from a talent point of view. I mean,
you got to take the whole package. You can't separate the two.
I know one and the same. We stay inside the lines.
It's outside of Glenn's jurisdiction as such.
Yeah, I'm getting all nervous. I'm in a sweat.
I did nearly get you then.
Yeah.
Sweaty pits there.
I nearly got another D.
They got a way up. I mean, you know, is it better for Harley Bennell to be home? Or is that worse for him, you know, because he'd have all his mates from, you know, school days?
The rumours are that he won't be at Gold Coast next year. They're the rumours. Mm. Now, whether that's true or not, time will tell. But if he was to leave, they would probably like to send him to somewhere where an environment where he can regather himself and get his football back on track. Now, is that Fremantle? Is that West Coast? Gee, if you're West Coast, you're going to lose that battle.
Purely from a talent point of view, it'd be just so tempting because he could be a top 10 player of the competition. I have no doubt about that. Mm. He's a star. He's a high half forward that can go into the midfield, will average your low 20s disposals and have the potential to kick bags of 3, 4, and 5 goals. We've seen it already.
Kangaroos.
He's a star.
Kangaroos are a different story again, aren't they?
I like what you've done there, Motlop for Selwood. That's good.
Yeah, well, you might not get that over the line. You might have to attach some picks to it, but I just think that'd be a win-win.
The Kangas?
The Kangas are a different one, aren't they? I mean, they've gone down that path already. And I think this year's result, they're still waiting to see where they find themselves and where they finish. And Brad's right. We've all been wrong about them the last 2 years.
We have.
But what they do will tell us what they think, where they think they're at. So whether Brad goes back to the draft and says, no, we're still regenerating, we're still moving through the mid part of the ladder, no man's land in the ladder, or do they go and grab another one? Do they go after another experienced senior body to bolster that back line or to give Scotty Thompson a chop out in terms of, Robbie Tarrant's been good, but it hasn't probably worked as much as they'd like.
Yep.
Do they go after another midfielder with some outside damage?
They should be all over Treloar. He'd be perfect for them.
It's going to be hard to get, isn't he? For them?
He's got a choice. They have been linked to him. So I wouldn't be panicking too much. So from last week, you've got Higgins 27, Goldstein 27, Tarrant 26. And then you've got that group of Wright, Zeeble, Bastanac, Cunnington, McMillan. They're all between 25, 23, and then Attlee, 22, Ben Brown, 22. So, yes, there's some older players in the mid-30s, lower 30s.
High 30s.
Yeah, but there is a nice core still in that mid-20s.
They're all the same, though, Lovey.
No, they're all, but Treloar's different.
Yeah, they're the same Treloar's, player.
That's why Treloar would be so important for them, because he carries the footy.
I think Treloar will end up at Collingwood.
Do you?
Mm. And that's the next club.
Well, let's talk about the Magpies then.
Their list has been a great build so far. And we haven't seen Scharenberg. We haven't seen Freeman. I think they're the best placed to get Treloar because it's an easy sell. I mean, the way the Collingwood Football Club are poised right now ahead of time in the top four or five teams in the comp, with a view to really, entrenching themselves in some sort of premiership window, for want of a better term, they're a gun midfielder away from it. And this kid is effectively on the market, isn't he? I mean, he hasn't signed.
Well, he seems to be. Everyone else has done the deal.
We think he's on the move, don't we? What would it cost to get him? I'm not sure what they'd have to give up, but they've got talent to give up. Kangaroos don't really have a lot that they can offer back. And you're not going to win this one on picks. This is not going to be done on picks. This is going to be done on talent.
If GWS asked for wits and a pick for Treloar, would you do it if you were calling?
I'd sign it straight away. I wouldn't give them
chance. They like wits.
They like wits.
Yeah, and wits is from up there, so that could be a possibility.
That's leverage.
They were the third youngest team on the weekend, Collingwood, so that shows you how well they're set up.
Who was the youngest, by the way? Because I know the Bombers were second.
The Giants, No, the Bombers were the fifth youngest, well, but the second least experienced.
Ah, right. Yes.
So they got a, you know, they got older players that haven't been pumped.
Some stats abuse on the weekend.
No stats abuse whatsoever.
May have been some stats abuse.
I think
age versus experience.
I read second,
And that just shows you the Bombers have taken a while to play their kids.
Got,
so that's
just,
what it shows.
You just got sprung then on a Thursday afternoon.
What do you do all week? You're ready for Friday night footy, you people.
Tell lies all week.
We need to get to a break, boys. Can we finish that off?
Did you answer who was the most inexperienced on the weekend?
GWS, wasn't it?
Well, no, he said youngest.
I said youngest.
And GWS, and then it was Brisbane, Collingwood, Gold Coast. The oldest team was Hawthorn, then Freo, North Melbourne, and then Geelong.
Geelong. Oh. Gee whiz. 26-1. We'll get to a break of Pure Footy. Grab the all-new chicken, golden herb, schnitzel, and slaw sub from Subway for a limited time only. Back shortly. Thursday afternoon. That is the domain of Glenn Luff from Champion Data and David King, the world's greatest footy analyst. A big part of our Pure Footy segment here on Halftime. In fact, without them, we are nothing. Hey, boys. I want to go to one of the topics of discussion this week, and it's been making headlines all through the week, but we actually broached this topic on Pure Footy roughly 8 or 9 weeks ago. I haven't got the exact date, but roughly 8 or 9 weeks ago, about congestion and stoppages in the game. Have we taken the rest of the footy community just not listened to Pure
Took
Footy?
A little
Did
while.
They not get the podcast that week? Or
took a while, didn't
what's
it?
Happened?
Yeah, it's a good question. What has happened?
And you've come up with the idea, and you mentioned this last week when we were doing Brekkie King, about the last touch out of bounds type scenario to keep the ball in play, to encourage teams to not use the boundary line as a defensive option, the safe option, and play a bit more attacking, daring football.
Yeah. Scoring.
People will be happy again.
Yeah, and look, Jared Waitley made a good point last night. There's no 100% solution right now. No one's said, hey, guys, try this.
No.
Take rotations to 40. That'll work. Take the boundary line off them. Make it a free kick if last touch out of bounds. That'll work. Do it between the arcs. That'll work. No one's really come up with the perfect plan, and I don't think it's necessarily up to us to come up with the perfect plan just yet, but we need to come up with 5, 6, 10, however many options there are, put them on a whiteboard, put them on a dartboard-style approach, get the coaches in at the end of the year, get 3 or 4 coaches in who are the ambassadors and custodians of the tactical game right now, and say what would work, guys, and what wouldn't work. What are the problems with these? What are the pitfalls? How long would it take to correct if we brought X, Y, or Z in? And have a rational discussion involving the coaches, not telling them what we've done, asking them what to do. Because if we tell them what the changes are, they're going to say, well, how can we get this back to the way we want it? How can we get this back to suit my club? And that's not the approach. And I don't think there's enough communication between the coaches, the current coaches, and Alistair Clarkson, Nathan Buckley, Ross Lyon, Ken Hinckley, Damien Hardwick, all these guys tactically are ahead of anyone in the media, miles ahead of anyone in the media in terms of what's going on with the game. So who is it? Why is it up to us to throw things up? Let's tap into their knowledge.
Do you think that the discussion could be had in good faith about what's good for the game, or do you think there would always be that agenda that I reckon we can manipulate better than the other bloke?
Well, I've heard that before, but the coaches have an enormous interest in the game, an enormous interest in how entertaining the game is, where the game's at, what we can generate from it. If the game loses its entertainment value, it'll lose significant funding. And at the end of the day, that'll cost us talent, ID, it'll cost us staff, it'll cost them just sheer wage, if you like, their ability to earn. Everything dries up, and we just don't want that. We don't need for that to happen. There's some tinkering been done in the last 4 or 5 years, hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. Let's try something different.
If you're given one choice, half, what would you choose first to trial to
fix this? I like the last touch out of play between the arcs. I think it's a good system.
Okay.
I think that would be beneficial. Now, there's no data to say that's conclusive, but I think just from anecdotal evidence, that would be a good start.
So it's a radical change to the game.
But it's not as radical.
I want to try anything.
Kick out the full type situation was introduced.
What would you try?
1969, and that's when we saw the biggest rise in scores. We saw 15 points per team per game. So overall, that's 5 goals extra a game. We saw within a year with that radical change. I wonder if it was radical back then, but it was the most significant rule change we've seen in footy. If we capped interchange and not to 100 or 90, but went back to 60, maybe 50, cut it in half like KB's been talking about for forever for about 10 years.
I've lost faith in Kevin.
What? So what does it do?
I've lost faith in Kevin.
Well, he would have fixed this.
Normally, he fixes his stuff overnight.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he appears to be sitting on his hands.
He's walked away from the laws of the game.
Hasn't he? He's left it a complete
washed
mess.
Washed his hands and said, you can deal with this.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I've stuffed it up. Over to you guys. So where is Kevin?
The thing that so it's fatigue. Fatigue sets in if we cap it. That apparently that's what will happen. I think the Bulldogs Gold Coast was a very good example of what fatigue can do, because the Gold Coast look gone. There are only 12 stoppages, so 9 throw-ins and 3 ball-ups in that last quarter, and we see the Bulldogs kick 10 goals. Very, very entertaining. Before that,
it's unbelievable,
it was
pretty, footy.
Pretty high stoppages. So I'd like to see that, but we keep hearing that they might cut it to 100 or 90. I just don't think that's enough. It's going to take too long, and we won't see enough results.
It's too slow. We can't be tinkering with that. We can't say, oh, well, let's try 75 this year and we'll go to 50 next year. We just can't waste that 12 months. The time's now. It's an entertainment business fundamentally, so we need to make sure that when the fan puts his 20 bucks in the can out the front and walks in, that he's entertained, he sees highlights, he sees scores, he sees the young talent expressing themselves, not bottled up at stoppages, 1v32. It's just crazy.
Let's get some calls on this, boys. It's an emotional topic for a lot of fans, this one. Jared's on the road. G'day, Jared.
G'day, Daniel. Glenn, I just wanted to ask you a question. When rule changes come into effect or whatever, do you ever get consulted about how they affect stats and trends in the game when they occur?
Good question.
Oh, the AFL, they get data on a weekly basis, and this there's always big sample size, and they'll get the information that they require for these rule changes and
did
the rules committee and all
anything?
That.
Did you project anything in terms of data as to what would happen with the sub rule or the interchange rotation?
No, all we can do is give the facts on what's happening and what's going up, what's going down.
Basically, Jared, what happens is nothing at the AFL without ringing Glenn.
Well, that's life.
Not me.
Oh, I don't do anything. I don't buy groceries without ringing Glenn to see how the mandarins are tracking.
The reluctant hero.
I tried to find some yesterday. Gone.
That's out of season, Glenn. You know that. Jared, starting the line. Two bottles of wine, one red, one white. Thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way. Every caller today that gets a prize gets 2 bottles of Cocoa Hydrate as well.
Oh,
and 2 Bataki leg hams. You love the orange Cocoa Hydrate,
loved
don't
it.
You?
Yeah. Particularly at 6 in the morning.
Great way to hydrate the day. Thank you, Jared. Andrew's in Altona. G'day, Andrew.
Hi. How are you, gentlemen?
Good, thanks.
I think the way that you're going to stop half of this is the defending team, if they kick back into the 50, that's play on until the team that's going forward kicks back into the 50, right? The mark can be paid. But other than that, if a team kicks back, defending team kicks back into the 50 and kicks around 3 times, it's play on.
Kicks inside
so
defensive 50.
If they get caught holding the ball, it's holding the ball. So a team gets a free shot at goal. That way, right, that means they have to go forward all the time.
Similar to the NAB Cup rule we had a couple of years ago, back half kicks behind that were backwards.
Were
play on. So similar one, just the defensive 50 with the alternation there from from Andrew. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it won't make much of an effect stoppages. Won't affect stoppages and probably won't affect scoring greatly.
No.
We need something with more impact than that, I feel.
We're after impact. We'll find out more about it after the break. Quarter to one on Pure Footy. If you're with us on Pure Footy, going to rip through a couple of calls here and then bring up the premiership window and who's in at the moment with Luffy and King. They're on fire. Steve's in Ormond in on the open line. G'day, Steve.
G'day, gents. How are we?
Good.
That's good. Maybe I'm a little bit out of touch with the universe, but the sub rule was brought in with the best of intentions, but it's become a strategic tactical tool by the coaches.
It's gone, Steve. It's gone. It'll be gone at the end of the year.
Sub's gone.
Yeah, don't panic about it. Give it 8 weeks. Have a couple of little say farewells, and she's gone, Steve. So
great result, Steve.
Great
That's
result.
The power of Pure Footy.
Yeah, Steve's done that himself. What about Joe at Doncaster? What's he thinking?
G'day, Joe. Joey boy.
The situation is 12 interchanges per quarter, 48 a game. You use them or you lose them. And that will actually stop the forwards and backs from going into the opposition's forwards and back line. That's the only way you're going to ever cut back this, the the stoppages. You use your 12 interchanges a quarter to give your midfield a rest. If you want to use those to flip over your forwards or your backs to give them a rest, then you risk losing your midfield having a break. And that's the only way you're going to...
Well, it's not the only way. There's quite a few options, but I like the suggestion. Limit to the rotations. Basically, what he's saying is he agreeing with you, Luffy.
Use or lose, or
players aren't under fatigue at the moment. There's so many stoppages; they're not actually under the fatigue that we think they are.
Thank you, Joe. Mark in Blackburn. We'll get to you. Hello, Mark.
Hi, guys. My issue is, why on earth would you get the coaches to discuss the situation when basically they're the guys that have stuffed the game? That's my fault.
No, but they coach within the rules at the moment.
They maximise advantage and what's available in the rules.
Generally, they will care about the game and the way it looks.
They do. If you said to them, come in, we need to fix this.
We hear them say that all the time.
They'll help.
Custodians of the game.
It's their problem as well as ours.
But they've still got a case to win within the rules, Luffy, as you rightly say. Right, thank you, Mark. Thank you, calls, for that. Let's get on to a bit of audio I heard from Justin Lepic, who was on the Morning Glory today, talking about the Hawks. Let's have a listen to the Brisbane coach.
Oh, no doubt. They've got all three phases of the game, absolutely sus. They're the most mature team in the competition. They're damaging with the ball. They're aggressively at defence, and they're strong around stoppages, and they work as a team. So you've got all three phases covered. I think it's very difficult to beat.
Three phases he was talking about. So, Luffy, who else fits into the three-phase window?
There's two clear standouts, and they're Hawthorn and West Coast. And at the moment, they are the two best sides in it, aren't they? But the quirk of the year is Freo.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with it?
No.
No?
No, I still think when Fremantle play the West Coast Eagles in 2 or 3 weeks, then we will say, yeah, maybe we got it wrong with West Coast. Are they the real certainties?
Round 20.
Okay, if they were playing this week, certainties.
Well, playing this week,
I'll work them back from certainties to let's see in the space of 4 seconds.
Well, there's been time.
No one wants to believe in West Coast.
No, you jumped off Adelaide pretty quick too. I haven't heard you
mention
them.
So how far off the other teams are they?
West Coast, we hear about their defence and the web, and that is brilliant. Their contest is brilliant, third in the competition. But their ball movement, under our ball movement measurements, are number one in the competition. They score.
Ball movement measurements?
Haven't got a name yet.
Have you got new ball movement measurements?
Yeah, haven't got a name for it.
We're tinkering with a few things. It's very interesting.
Well, talk us through it.
Well, it's all about how much better than you are than the AFL average at moving it from point A to point B and where you get it.
And those point A changes as opposed to where it starts.
To give you an example, Hawthorn are 35% better than the AFL average. West Coast are 36% better than the AFL average. Freo are negative 10% and Sydney are just 2% better. So they're right on average.
Sort of average.
The last 6 weeks, Freo are last in the competition at you being able to move the ball from one point to another.
I've heard a couple of the projected names, Daniel.
Yes.
The Luff Tracker was one of them.
The Luffometer. No. I heard the Luffometer was popular within the walls of Champion Data. Sorry.
The Reluctant Tracker.
Your nomination's off the SMS too.
In a month's time,
you're
going
to get your name into this. I know you are, somehow.
You know, you're taking the piss now, but you want to know about it in a month, I reckon.
I Luff Footy.
Huh?
I Luff Footy Stats. God, is that what it's going to be?
Anyway, so I think they're the two standouts at the moment. At the moment, though.
This is another one of those things that I'm going to have to explain to Friday night. That I know the man on the couch is thinking, what the hell are you talking about?
If this is like the loophole for the captains in the fantasy footy. If this is the loophole again,
remember that,
ball movement loophole.
Luffy, can you explain the loophole in fantasy? Oh, yeah, we tried.
We still have no idea what we're talking about. Like, so we've got a new measure, a ball movement measure at Champion Data, and the two current teams who are clearly the dominant teams above average are Hawthorn and West Coast, and that is why they are the premier teams in the competition, even though they're not 1 and 2.
The interesting thing, you're talking about the three phases, and Geelong are high up in defending it and actually moving the footy, but their contest is poor. And we flagged it a few years ago when they were winning. They kept losing contested footy, but it's still stacking up, and they're actually second worst in the competition now, Kingy. And each game this year, if they get within 14 of the opposition, they actually win the game. Anything outside that, they've lost it. So it's very, very simple measure. But they need Dangerfield desperately.
Tell me more after the break, boys.
Have you thought
back
about
with more
consulting Jared Healy for some sort of name? Some sort of funky name.